This is Talking Ears, and this is a special bonus episode focused on the work of CAOC, the Council for Accreditation of Occupational Hearing Conservation. The mission of CAOC is to advance best practices in occupational hearing conservation worldwide. This is done through credentialing and training of occupational hearing conservationists. Those are the clinicians who perform hearing testing and hearing loss prevention services in industrial and occupational settings. They also participate in setting standards for education and for service delivery, as well as advocacy for updating and changing the laws and rules surrounding hearing loss prevention. In this episode, we'll be listening to music featuring our guest Terry Tyson on guitars and some vocals with his Southern rock tribute band, High Noon. If you would like to hear more from our guest, especially his musical life and his thoughts on acoustic design, I invite you to go listen to the full episode of Talking Ears with Terry Tyson.
I'm an architectural acoustics consultant, fundamentally. The company that I work for is called Ascentech. Technology company that specializes in solving acoustics problems, but there's some allied technology things that we do as well. My role at Ascentech has to do with any kind of built environment, if you will, where sound is important. The council, this effectively the board for CAOC, is made up of delegates, if you will, from a variety of different disciplines, audiologists, otolaryngologists, and there's people in all of the disciplines related to hearing. My connection to it is that I'm a delegate from something called INCE, the Institute of Noise Control Engineers. There's two delegates from each of these different professional organizations, and I'm the junior INCE delegate, if you will. But as an acoustics consultant, there's a few professional societies that we often belong to, like the Acoustical Society of America is one example, and the Institute of Noise Control Engineers is another one. I'm a member of that. I mean, there are people from a variety of backgrounds in there, but a lot of us are acoustics consultants. Maybe not necessarily everybody doing architectural acoustics, but noise propagation outside, mechanical equipment, mm-hmm. stuff on the rooftop propagating out into the environment. Control of airborne noise, environmental noise sources is something a lot of us are involved with that way. Many of us don't have very much to do at all with dosimeters, for example, or industrial noise levels or what people are allowed to be exposed to in the workplace. We do know generally how to make the calculations that'll show how sound will propagate and whether it's going to then be in alignment with whatever the local noise ordinances are. And those things vary all over the map depending upon where you are.
And so CAOC has a lot to tie in with industrial noise, especially, or occupational noise. And their mission is to deal with noise-induced hearing loss that happens in an occupational setting. Have you had experience personally with doing that kind of, let's call it noise controls or engineering controls of industrial noises?
Candidly, not as much as some other members of INCE do. We do get called, for example, the next week, I'll be doing a site visit to a very well-known industrial company who has a noise problem on their plant floor. It's too noisy. They've taken some cursory readings using a cell phone or something, you know.
Sure.
And it would appear that probably they don't have a legal issue, you know, that's probably not exceeding an issue that would call for people to absolutely have to have hearing protection. But they are asking us to come in and opine on how they can make the place more comfortable because it is still grating to be exposed to these noise levels for 8 hours a day if they don't have to be.
Well, good on that employer for caring beyond the legal requirement of exposure and actually caring about, you know, fatigue and stress of their employees.
Yes.
That seems, I'm going to guess, relatively rare, because it's not cheap to do a lot of these acoustical changes.
Yeah, there's a backstory, naturally, you know. So they're they're consolidating some operations, and they're moving people who currently work in an environment where the noise is better controlled. And when the leadership of that other unit was informed, we want you to move your operation to this existing building, he went in there and said, "Oh no, no." No, I'm not having my people move into here, you know. So you guys have got to make this better. And they've got all kinds of exposed equipment inside the space that isn't what they have at the other unit. And so they're looking at us to opine on, you know, what it might cost them to make. And frankly, I'm not sure if they feel obliged to do the work anyway, you know, but they want to at least know what would be involved to improve the space.
Again, hats off to them, because I feel, I don't have a good statistic on this, but I feel like the vast majority of even recommended legal requests to change and reduce sound sources for noise exposure reasons don't move forward because they cost either too much, or because they're perceived to cost too much, or they don't see the long-term benefit. So for companies to say, hey, look, you know, this noise is bad. It's uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. It inhibits communication. It inhibits people doing their jobs correctly. It inhibits people being happy at their work, because it's like working inside a jet engine. Let's help out. That's really cool.
Right.
That's really cool. When Juan and I are teaching these courses, we're often talking about kind of the work that you do in a third-party perspective, right? We're talking about noise measurements, noise controls, considerations for rooms. And I feel like hearing it from you is so much more clear, because, you know, we frankly don't go and do what you're doing. Mm-hmm. I'm just, you know, intrigued by this concept that we are multiple parts of the same organization of KAOC, trying to get out there and reach the nurses and the medical assistants who are taking these classes and becoming educated in the topic. Oddly enough, most of the course directors happen to be audiologists. I don't know if that's because of our background in hearing testing, that it makes sense to teach hearing testing, but 80% of what we teach in the class is not hearing testing. Most of it's noise and stuff that you've been talking about.
Yeah.
What was your first exposure then to KAOC? Was it just somebody sent you an email and said, hey, there's an opening on this board and are you interested?
I confess, absolutely. Yeah, I really had no knowledge of KAOC. Mike Batarian is a former president of INSE, and he happens to be a colleague of mine at my company. And so I learned that somebody from one of the INSE delegates was rotating off. And gee, there's an opening there. Would you like to do that? And I said, sure. What does KAOC do? Because I didn't know. And so that was it. So I spooled up as quickly as I could, and I turned up at a meeting, and here I am.
Nice.
So it's been great, though. It's a subject that's actually near and dear to my heart, because we get in a lot of band rooms. I mean, there's a band room is a great example of a room that is frequently too noisy for the instructors who have to work in them, and too noisy for the young people who have to play in the band room. They're very often completely inadequate to the task. And that's something that one of the greatest, most rewarding things I can do in my work is imagine, a 100-year-old school building in Chicago or a city, anywhere, where it's a 100-year-old room and they're using this room as a band room. And it's way too small. The ceiling's way too low. And it's way too loud. The great thing that is so rewarding to me is they finally get a new room, or they finally get a new building. They get a new facility, and they've had some acoustic attention paid to the design of that space. And now it's like, you know, it's a great sigh of relief when you're in there, and it's actually pleasant to be in there and to work in there and to perform in there. And particularly for young musicians, I think that's just, for me, particularly a happy thing to do. So
nice. And you came to this. You're not only in a lot of band rooms, you're also up on stages, you're also in rehearsal spaces. So you came to this also, I don't know if that connection occurred to you when you heard about what KAOC does of, oh, protecting people from noise, I make noise.
Oh yeah, I'm guilty. Guilty is charged, and I have a notch in this ear to prove it, you know.
Oh yeah.
you know, standing next to the drummer, and there's a cymbal, you know. And so, yeah, for sure. I've been playing music in bands for decades, and it comes with the territory that way. And actually, as it happens, I didn't come right into acoustics out of school. My undergrad is in chemical engineering, actually. So I spent first dozen years of my career in industrial environments where there was no concern. You know, you wore hearing protection, right? But some of the stuff was incredibly noisy. So I stumbled into the world of acoustics later on in my career, but I know firsthand what some of those places are like. And it's, you know, it's bad.
Yeah.
Very often.
It's nice to have that background. Do you find that it gives you more empathy then when we're talking about the industrial settings, that you've kind of stepped foot in those spaces?
It probably does, because I know what it's like. My job in those days, I wasn't permanently attached to a manufacturing facility, but I traveled around the country and went to lots of different cement plants and chemical plants and stuff. And I would, every week I might be somewhere else, and I've been all over the world doing that kind of thing. So I definitely know firsthand what that's all about. And I've got a little bit of hearing acuity loss, I guess, and myself, just, but that's largely from playing loud music. So I'm certainly sensitive to this.
Yeah. Now your role on the council is stepping into the chair of the noise committee, is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. Kind of what is the task that they've been charged with right now?
Well, right now we are charged with, and there will be no doubt there will be additional charges brought, if you will. But
topical.
But we are currently just in the process of reviewing the existing materials that KAOC has already produced and trying to see how they can be improved upon and brought up to date. And that's really the extent of it, so that we can deliver a noise course version 2 that will perhaps provide even more useful information for people who take the course that way.
Turn it up.
KAOC has a lot of reach. As you mentioned, covering a lot of different professionals from a lot of different organizations. We're training something like 22,000 occupational hearing conservationists, which are a variety of nurses and medical assistants and physicians and administrators and safety coordinators. I have industrial hygienists who take the course. And so the way that we present this information, both the online noise course and the KAOC OHC course, the occupational hearing conservationist course, I think the way that we present this can embolden and spread this concept that we all here think is very important, that hearing doesn't need to be damaged over time. Hearing needs to be protected and revered and appreciated. I'm really glad to hear that even though you hadn't heard of KAOC before, once you heard kind of what was going on behind the scenes of it, that really lit a fuse under you. That's really exciting for me.
Oh, it totally did. I mean, there would have been any number of things I might have volunteered for as an INS guy, but I can't think of anything that would be more meaningful than what KAOC is doing. This is incredibly important and very meaningful to me.
And you're unique in the sense that you're coming into it with industrial background, having worked in those spaces. You're coming into it from having created very loud noises with your guitar and doing your due service there. But I can't help but imagine that a lot of other INS folks, or really folks from numerous different walks, would feel the same kind of, oh, of course, this makes sense.
Yeah.
How do you think that we can do, I don't want to say do better, I want to say how do you think we can continue that progress of getting the news out, getting the information out about KAOC?
That's a good question. I'm not sure what the best means would be for letting people know. But the truth is, of course, now I've been out in the world for, you know, a long time, and I had never heard of KAOC.
Yeah.
And I knew about what industrial hygienists were, sort of. It was the guy who'd come and hassle you to where, you know, you'd show up at the cement plant. Hey, you got to wear this. And
right.
You know, but there would be a safety guy. But that was kind of the extent of what I knew. And I knew that there were safe levels that you could be exposed to. But in those days of my early part of my career, before I was involved in acoustics, it was, you know, I didn't have any depth of knowledge of it. And because I wasn't an employee at a chemical plant, I worked in a design office and I would go out to these places. I wasn't exposed to this. It wasn't part of my daily routine. It was just, yeah, I'd go to these different places and have these different experiences. Then when I got into acoustics, that wasn't our initial focus. There are some acoustics consultants that specialize in the industrial workplace, for example, they do it more often than I do. We work in other areas where noise is a nuisance. It's a problem because it's picked up by open microphones. It's a problem because, gee, this room doesn't sound good, or intelligibility is a problem. It's not a problem because it's dangerous for most of the work that I'm involved in.
Mm-hmm.
So all that to say, I didn't have any knowledge of KAOC, but I think there would be tons of people, mm-hmm, who are engaged in the work that I do who would take a deep interest in it.
And you know, not dangerous, but detrimental is how a lot of sound ends up being,
mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm.
It's not dangerous, but it's reducing our effectiveness. It's reducing our quality of work or quality of communication while we're working.
Yeah.
And having that be part of the conversation of,
yeah,
hearing conservation, hearing loss prevention, you know, if I had any criticism of the hearing loss prevention mission that we have, it's that we're only focused on that end of it, the extreme end, mm-hmm, where people actually get broken. But yeah, there's a lot that happens before that. Mm-hmm. If we can help people appreciate how much sound matters to their lives, appreciate how much their ears matter, then we can actually get people acting a lot sooner.
Yeah.
You know, the goal of KAOC is to make occupational hearing loss a thing of the past.
Right.
And I think the way to do that is to not deal with just the pain point. It's to deal, yeah, with the societal perspective on,
yeah,
sound and hearing. And you're doing that work right now. So I actually see you as the front line. We're the cleanup crew trying to deal with after all the china's been broken in the china shop. You're walking in trying to tell the bull to leave.
Well aware and warned by my parents, you know, don't listen to that music so loud, you know, when I was a kid, right? And so, and I didn't care, right? And so I was 10 feet tall and bulletproof when I was 14 years old, right? In those days, the headphones were these big cans, right? I had these old Koss headphones, mm-hmm, and I turned my stereo up as high as it would go and listened to Black Sabbath or whatever, because the sound moved me in a certain way. I had a chair in my room, I'd sit there and I'd have this on, there was something about that was just thrilling. It just moved my whole body. And I, you know, I'm gonna lose my hearing when I'm 40 years old, who cares?
Well, thank you very much. That's Terry Tyson again, making that one sound so pretty.
I want to just go back to a quick sentiment, which is the more that we can get all the professionals in occupational health settings or even occupational health settings adjacent, such as INTS, right?
Mm-hmm.
All the noise professionals to be aware of the simple call to arms of hearing loss prevention.
Yes.
I think that we're going to find that we have more counterparts, that we have more allies on this, yeah, on this journey than we think.
Yeah.
So I really appreciate your taking the time to talk with us about your work, about your music.
My pleasure.
Frankly, I just look forward to continuing to work with KAOC with you. And
absolutely. Thank you.
Thank you so much for your time. This was awesome. Talking Ears is a production of Earmark Hearing Conservation. The theme music is by Scott Hallam. You can find more of his music at audiodowsing.com. The show is produced and edited by Juan Vasquez, Scott Hallam, Mary Kim, and myself. Thanks for listening.